You're disabled. You want to be part of something. Go to Kyle. Get in his face. Sign up for the Leadership Academy, right?
Correct.
If you want to be involved with, go to PSU, or if you go to PSU, you have enormous opportunities here. So please take advantage of this, folks, and support KBOO Disability Awareness. And thank you for tuning in.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work.
See?
Up next at 11:30 is Voices for the Animals with host Dab Stedman. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 16th annual Portland Zine Symposium, a two-day zine conference and social gathering on Saturday, July 9th and Sunday, July 10th in Portland. From 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. on Saturday, there will be tabling and workshops at the Ambridge Event Center, located at 1333 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Then, on Sunday, July 10th, from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m., there will be workshops and a Skillshare at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, located at 1001 Southeast Division Street. Again, that's the 16th annual Portland Zine Symposium, Saturday, July 9th, and Sunday, July 10th. More information about Skillshares, speakers, workshops, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to Voices for the Animals on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals. I'm Dab Stedman, your host, and my guest today is Seth Tibbett, the chairman and founder of Tofurky and Turtle Island Foods. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Okay, let's talk turkey, or should I say Tofurky? What a great name for a meatless turkey entree. Seth, you were a teacher and a naturalist before becoming a New Age food pioneer. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to change the course of your career.
Yeah, sure. Well, I had been a naturalist, teacher naturalist, in the Portland Public Schools out in Washington County for 8 years after graduating from Wittenberg University in Ohio with an elementary education degree. And I really was passionate about environmental education. And I was a vegetarian at the time. And I had several different offshoots of the outdoor school job teaching natural history in the Portland area. And then, lo and behold, 1980 came around, and suddenly, with the Reagan administration coming to power, environmental education was not, shall we say, high on the funding list.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
A lot of the jobs that I had. So some of the things that I was doing, sort of just disappeared. And I was like, wow, you know, why do I want to be tied to, you know, have my career tied to the whims of political fate? And so I had been making tempeh in my kitchen for friends and family in since I first started making it in 1978, when I was working as a naturalist in Tennessee. And I thought, well, maybe this is a good time to start a small business. And so with $2,500 and some good luck, I rented a cafe at the Hope Co-op Cafe, which was only open in the day. And so I.
And where was that? Was that out in Forest Grove? Or?
Yeah, that was Forest Grove. No longer there, but it was a great co-op, really well-run co-op. And I would come in there at 4 o'clock when the cafe closed down, and I'd spend the next 8 hours making 100 pounds of tempeh and then driving it all over Portland to Nature's and King Harvest and different stores throughout the Portland area.
So tempeh was your original product then?
Yeah, I started out making soy tempeh, 5-grain tempeh, and a tempeh-roni product.
Okay.
It was a spice tempeh.
All right. And Seth, in case there's any doubt why we're discussing plant-based products on an Animal Issues program, let's touch briefly on the subject of factory farm food production, which is a source of 99% of commercially sold meat in the U.S. In what way did the industrial business model motivate you to create a meatless food alternative in a company based on green goals and values?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And, you know, we, as a naturalist, the main reason that I became a vegetarian was looking at the model of, you know, the environmental model of how many pounds of grains it took to produce a pound of meat. Like, it wasn't very efficient. And
yeah, I think Francis Moore Lappe says it takes 12 pounds of grain to produce 1 pound of consumable meat flesh.
Yeah, and it's different for every animal, but it's a terrible protein machine in reverse from that angle. And then the more I studied it, it just looked like a, you know, environmental catastrophe, these factory farms. You know, I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay, and the Eastern Shore was this, still is, a region where there's a lot of chickens raised, and they are just so not only mistreated, but they there's so many of them that the effluent comes out from the chicken farming and pours out into the bay, all these nitrates. And I've just watched the bay become, you know, from this crystal clear body of water that I grew up in to kind of like a cesspool, really. I mean, it really changed dramatically.
Yes, so that factory farm model takes a terrible toll on air and water pollution. And, of course, now what we know about greenhouse gases and the relationship to particularly cows and, you know, beef production. Oh, my gosh. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there are no federal laws to protect farm animals. And they live in these crowded warehouses and pump full of antibiotics and, you know, sometimes forced to live in small, small cages. And the whole system from beginning to end, their transport, the horrors of the slaughterhouses, all that is a good reason to stay away from those products in favor of plant-based foods. And
well,
then
that's absolutely true. And, you know, they say that you shouldn't see sausage being made, but we show people how we make sausage all the time out here. And, you know, nothing, it's a very clean production facility that we run, and it's cruelty-free, of course. And, you know, it's really also a lot easier when you think of all of the land, you know, when the guys this January took over the Malheur refuge out there in eastern Oregon, I was struck. I thought it was a really good example of just how what much land is required to grow, you know, even these, like a lot of people say, oh, I eat grass-fed beef. Well, grass-fed beef takes a lot of land, and that's exactly what they were talking about. And it illustrated, you know, the pressure on wildlife habitat that all of this industrial animal agriculture has on ecosystems like Malheur.
Exactly.
So
in contrast to the factory farm model, your company motto, as posted on the tofurkey.com website, reads, quote, "We believe in people, animals, and the environment over profits," end quote. Wow, that's quite an extraordinary business ethic, Seth.
Right.
But what does that mean in terms of how your company actually operates? Do you want to talk a little bit about your LEED certified physical plant where the Tofurkey products are made?
Right. Yeah, we're up here in Hood River, 60 miles from Portland, right on the Columbia River. And we have three buildings up here. One is the original building that we first moved to in 1992, and we still operate that. But we have built a 33,000 square foot state-of-the-art LEED platinum processing plant, because we didn't just, I mean, the biggest thing that we do for the environment is actually making, you know, a delicious meat alternative, and yet we wanted to do it in the most sustainable way. And a lot of these ways, you know, if you were just looking at the bottom line and saying this isn't going to really pay off, you know, in so many years, but we just wanted to go to the most extreme environmental level of certification that we could, which is the platinum level of LEED.
And what does LEED stand for, L-E-E-D?
Yeah, right. LEED is Leadership in Environmental Energy and Design.
Okay.
And it is a way of quantifying, like everybody says, oh, yeah, my building's green. And they go, oh, yeah, let's check it out. And they come in and they give you points for solar panels using recycled wood, you know, having a green roof, you know, just a lot of everything. There's just this huge checklist, and it's, you know, a very expensive process.
And you've got a living roof out there on your physical plant.
We do.
Yeah.
We have a green roof and a bocce court, and we have 420 solar panels.
Wow.
That are producing about 8 to 10% of our electricity.
They're actually running
15% more than we thought they would. But
and I know you try to compost your waste, and you even have rechargers for electric cars out there in your parking lot.
Yeah, we have all of that. And, you know, we've hauled logs out of the Columbia to make tables. We have old shipping pallets that we've salvaged and made cabinets out of the good wood, laminating them together throughout the plant. So it's pretty cool to it's a nice place, and it's a very comfortable place to work. So we're just now starting that up. Actually, on Friday of this week, we'll be making our first tofurkey batches here in this beautiful plant.
Oh, well, congratulations. And that facility really sounds terrific, and is certainly a shining example of what an environmentally responsible factory should look like. Seth, above and beyond the physical plant out in Hood River, your company also can boast about being a B-certified corporation, which uses business as a source of good. Can you tell us what that concept encompasses at your company?
Yeah, sure. Being a B Corp is becoming more and more popular now. It's a social responsibility company, and it's also a checklist of, you know, everything on how you treat your employees and what you do in the community and how you do good beyond just your core mission of being a business that is, you know, here to make money. It's more like, you know, goes into your charitable giving programs and, you know, different events that you help sponsor in the local community. And, you know, it's just a good feeling. You know, we're just trying to be a seamless company that is producing environmental foods in an environmentally friendly way and being fair to our workers and buying from, fair trade, non-questionable ethics suppliers of ingredients. And, so it just goes all throughout the organization.
Yes, including animal advocacy. And I know that we have many animal lovers listening. So can you please share some examples of the animal advocacy work your company has done both here and abroad?
Yeah. What we like to do is, we love to help nonprofits because we feel like, the people that are working in the nonprofits, in creating, animal advocacy and also, bringing out the connection between environmental destruction and, the meat diets, and also just how good the vegetarian diet is for a body. Like, those people are out there. They're like hidden marketing people. They're trying to build the same kind of world that we are. So we have a generous charitable giving arm that we give product and money to different organizations, some that we really like. We love the farm sanctuary movement. That was something that really there wasn't anything like that in 1980 when I started the business. Places where people can go and see animals treated. It's like a little model of how the world could work.
Yeah.
Where people and animals are treated, with respect and, as sentient human beings and animals and non-animals, non-human animals. So
yeah, and I know the really... Tofurky Company is also a sponsor this year of the Animal Rights National Conference in L.A. That's coming up on July 7 through 10, I believe.
Yeah, that's a great conference, and we have sponsored that for the past 4 years.
Oh, great.
And it's something that I personally never miss after going 4 years ago. I was like, wow, what a great conference and a great group of people down there. So
yeah.
That's a great place to meet and network with worthwhile.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a short break right now, and but we'll be right back, so please stay tuned and we'll hear more about all the great things that the Tofurky Company is doing. This is KBOO Portland, and you're listening to Voices for the Animals. We're speaking with Seth Tibbett, founder and chairman of Tofurky and Turtle Island Foods, and we've been talking about the many merits of his company in Hood River and the plant-based foods produced there. Seth, before going on to a different topic, I just want to go over a few more of the great things that your company is doing in terms of animal advocacy. You had mentioned supporting animal sanctuaries, I think, here and abroad, and supporting local animal rescue projects and supporting some campaigns and legislation which advocate for animal and environmental issues. And you also advise schools and other institutions how to replace some of their meat-based foods with plant-based foods on their menus. And one thing I definitely wanted to ask you about, because this kind of ties into some of the myths about plant-based diets that we'll touch on a little bit later in the program, but you also have sponsored some vegan superstar athletes. Do you want to talk about that just a bit?
Yeah, we haven't done a whole lot just with athletes, but we do really like to, have people that are out there sort of destroying, the myths that, vegans are weak, or, anytime a vegan athlete gets hurt, it's always the vegan diet that caused it. But, an athlete that eats animal products, is really kind of like given a pass if they ever get injured. So, you know, the world is changing there in terms of the public's perception of, you know, athletes that can thrive on a plant-based diet.
Yes, but. And I think there have been a lot of examples of top competitors in all kinds of sports now that are eating a vegan diet. Seth, let's go back in time a few decades, or maybe more than a few decades, to the early days of your company and talk a little bit more about the birth and development of your products. I believe Tofurky was the very first commercially produced plant-based food on the market sold as an alternative to the traditional turkey dinner. When and where did you introduce this innovative product, and how was it received by grocers and consumers at that time, right at the very beginning?
That's a great question. You know, we had made tempeh from 1980 to 1995, and then in 1995, I had seen that they're really, after spending, you know, a lot of Thanksgivings myself, struggling to find something great to eat, we saw that there wasn't anything out there, so we created the first tofurkies and sold them right here in Portland, actually.
All right.
The first 500 tofurkies. We teamed up with the Higher Taste, which is a local deli and sandwich company that's still doing great business all over Portland. You can buy their products at supermarkets and natural food stores. And Hans Robel, he had a stuffed tofu recipe, and then I had these drumsticks, and we used the marketing that we had and the connections with distributors to sell them throughout the West Coast, these first 500. And, you know, the store that was really jumped on board early was Food Front.
Oh, great.
I mean, all of the stores in Portland were very receptive to this, but Food Front especially so. And
I'm not surprised. And is Tofurky still the centerpiece of your product line, or are other products available now?
Well, we have, you know, still make the Tofurky roast, and we've sold millions of those at this point. And that's a very important part of our marketing, but it's also just one of about 36 Tofurky products, everything from deli slices to sausage to a new Tofurky chicken product, and we make ground and hot dogs. And so the holiday, which used to be, you know, a really major part of everything, is now just one of many different Tofurky products. And, you know, at first, it was really hard for, like, a lot of the really fancy stores to really jump on board. I remember Nature's, when I first presented the Tofurky to them, they were kind of, like, skeptical, like many.
Well, it was brand new product, yeah. Something
different.
Yeah, it was
a brand new product, and they would go, like, I don't know if I could take, you know, I'll take one of these, but you got to buy it back if it doesn't sell, you know, because it was expensive. It was like $30 for this meal that served eight people. And then they'd call the next day and go, well, we sold that one. Can you bring us two more? And then it was like, you know, we kept going. But the consumers, you know, we put little postcards, self-addressed stamped postcards in each Tofurky because we wanted to hear what people feedback was. And so, because there wasn't the internet back then in 95. I mean, that's how you communicated, was telephones and postcards way back then. And the people loved it, you know, and it was just like, after the first year, you know, we were like, oh my gosh, this is a niche that isn't being served. And we've discovered, you know, kind of the marketer's dream is like, we've been first in the market.
Well, yeah, and I remember I was personally delighted and thrilled to have something, you know, to eat and to buy as a complete kit. It was so easy to prepare, and I got together with a bunch of my friends from People for Animal Rights, and we had a wonderful celebration that first year that the Tofurky roast became available. So thank you for that, Seth. Seth, you recently returned from a business trip to Europe, where traditions die hard and meat is still the mainstay on most Euro menus. Is there a market demand for your plant-based products over there?
Yeah, we've been doing very well in Europe now. Europe's really waking up, you know, but historically, you know, the United Kingdom has been a great vegetarian market. You know, you have luminaries like Paul McCartney, of course, that were vegetarians, but also the word vegan was invented over there in the 40s. And so the Brits have a love of animals, and even though, yeah, they're still, you know, like everywhere, meat is a dominant paradigm, there's a real growing market for meat alternatives in that country. Germany is another one that is a big, of course, you think of Germany, you think of sausages.
Yes.
But in Germany now, the meat companies, excuse me, the major meat companies are all jumping on board and selling vegetarian sausages now. They're the big companies, too, like the Johnsonvilles of Germany are all trying to sell plant-based sausages, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
The big one is saying, we want to have 20% of our sales from vegetarian sausages by the year, I think, 2020. And that's something that you're not seeing in this country. So in many ways, you know, Germany in particular is they're ahead of us. I think they have more vegans and vegetarians per capita.
Yeah, and I think they're ahead of us also in terms of addressing the connection between their food choices and climate change. I know that the food labels in the United Kingdom, Netherlands, and Sweden have all kinds of environmental information in addition to how much sodium and protein and so forth. They will actually list what the cost in greenhouse gases was for making that particular product.
Yeah, they're keen about environment, definitely. And but you know what's interesting to me also is that in Germany, you know, I've met activists over there that say the major reason why people eat vegan in Germany is the treatment of animals and how animals are treated. So, you know, like over here, it's mostly people are looking at, oh, what is it going to do for me? Is it going to help my health?
Right.
You know, is the number one reason. But over there, it's really animals that it's driving it. And the other place that we're just starting in selling this year is Israel, which is a very progressive country in terms of, you know, the treatment of animals. And that it's interesting to me that both Germany and Israel, who had shared this horrific past,
yes,
are both really sort of on the forefront of, you know, this, the vegan movement, and for the reason of, you know, how animals are treated. I think that maybe they've gained empathy, you know, and that their hearts are opening in ways that we can't even imagine because we didn't experience the suffering that they did.
Yes, that's quite an observation, quite a keen observation you've made there. And also I heard that Denmark, the country of Denmark, might be considering taxing red meat. So things definitely are changing. Seth, I think we have time for another minute or two here. So I wanted to ask you, do you have any thoughts about the future of food in the United States and also around the world?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and I'm going to be speaking on a panel that is trying to ask that same question at the Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles, July 11th. And I think that what we have here is a world that is really open now and embracing vegan and vegetarian alternatives to meat in a way that it never has. And we are getting, it's not just Germany, it's not just England, it's not just Australia, it's like Brazil, it's like Iraq, you know, it's Bulgaria. We're getting flooded with inquiries from all over the world. Even China, you know, has said to their people something that the United States government has not said to its people, which is, hey, you need to eat less meat, people. And that's a major step right there, because China is such a big export market for a lot of the meat that's not being consumed in this country now, because people are wary of the health effects of it.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, Seth. And for those of you who might want to change your eating habits, check out the website at tofurkey.com. There's all kinds of great recipes and a lot of information. We're nearly out of time now, so let me close by thanking you very much, Seth, for showing us how plant-based foods like tofurkey can make our world a kinder and healthier place to live. We've been talking with Seth Tibbett, founder and chairman of Tofurkey and Turtle Island Foods. This is Dab Stedman thanking all of you for listening to Voices for the Animals today. To hear this program or podcast from previous programs, just go to our station's website at kboo.fm and click on Programs. And please plan to tune in again on the fourth Monday of next month. Until then, remember that you too can be a voice for the animals.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by the KBOO Foundation. Curiosities, also a contributor, a vintage mall serving the West Side with space for over 70 dealers and a selection of vintage, retro, and mid-century clothing, jewelry, and antiques. Curiosity is located at 12705 Southwest Beaver Dam Road in Beaverton. More at www.curiositiesvintage.com. This also was in part possible because of the historic White Eagle Saloon, presenting a variety of live music from regional and national artists and offering pub-themed dinner options, cocktails, and updated sound, adjoining courtyard, hotel rooms,